A number of dueling wisdom schools developed in the Buddhist tradition. And a great power struggle among these different schools unfolded. One of the schools, I think it was the Yogacara school, developed a concept that they called the Alaya Vijnana, which is usually translated as treasure house of wisdom. But if you think of the word alaya, laya is a place, alaya is a no place. It's a very odd concept. And so you could also translate this as the palace of nowhere. And that's where wisdom is. It's nowhere. But it's a treasure. It's the ultimate goal, right? So, but for this wisdom school, this is the highest level of consciousness. But how could it be the highest level of consciousness? Someone must have created this palace of nowhere. There must still be a beyond, or a user of the wisdom that is nowhere. So, if we understand ultimate reality as not being capturable in a signifier, then any signifier, any concept of ultimate reality has to be false. It has to be at least one step down from the real. The problem is this, that once the Absolute emits a consciousness that is capable of producing signifiers, which, well, let's call that the soul, but without confusing the concept of the soul with whatever that really is. But once the producer of concepts has been emitted, then those concepts will produce a product, and the product of the signifier is the ego. So the ego is several steps removed from the real, and it is a stream of signifiers because you never have one signifier alone. Why? Because a signifier only takes on the illusion of meaning by having an opposite. So the principle of bifurcation comes into operation as soon as you have signifiers. You only know what hot means in relation to cold, up in relation to down, etc., etc., right? This is all pretty basic. But once you understand that the signifier is part of a stream of differentiations that has to try to maintain a kind of stability, even while a stream of thought is going on that is constantly creating instability, and that the ego has no control over this stream because all it is a product of the stream, then what it has to try to do is to emit signifiers or identify with particular signifiers that have a higher value than the other signifiers. Upper, for example, usually has higher value than lower, right? And so signifiers, because they come in these couplets, there's usually a superior and an inferior, a yang and a yin, right? And everyone wants to identify with the signifier of great value, the dominant, not the submissive or the recessive, right? So there's a power struggle within the realm of the signifier for which of the two that are always implicated with each other, because you cannot have one alone. And when relationships happen, there is always a question of who gets the higher signifier and who gets the lower. There is always a differentiation between I and the other. And what narcissism really is simply the mistaking of the signifier for the signified. And then the struggle to have the right signifier, the highest one, the signifier of greatest market value in the market of signifiers that the ego world has become, becomes the struggle of the dominance that the ego can prove by its possession of those signifiers. And the society then creates concrete versions of those signifiers that will be valorized as being the signifiers that are the ones that will open doors for you, whereas the other signifier, the lower one, that will keep the door closed. So it's then very easy for the social order to arrange that certain signifiers have a value that you must attach to in order for you to be acceptable, right? Because acceptable and unacceptable, free and slave, upper class, lower class, all of these are inherent to the realm of the signifier. And so once wearing a mask becomes a signifier that you're okay, then to not wear a mask makes you in the category not of good, but of evil, of bad. Not being vaxxed, bad. They can easily manipulate you with anything they want by simply creating a signifier that, if you take the opposite road, puts you in the category of the dark side, the wrong, the evil, and will be outcast from those who have the signifier of the good. And then they can have you salute whatever flags represent the signification of the good ones and demonize the flags of the enemy. And so this dualization of reality that creates a dueling situation between signifiers is the unfoldment of the historic process of the chain of signifiers. And once you have a sutratma, once you have an ego, a soul ego that is producing signifiers, it itself then cannot stop the rolling of that production. And so it has to unfold story after story that are latent within each signifier of identity. And once you have fallen for that, then there has to be a series of incarnations in order for those signifiers to be manifested, because the signifier is always seeking a signified, and therefore there must be a projection of a world. But the world never contains the signified, because all the world is the manifestation of signifiers in materialized forms. So Narcissus mistook the image of his body on the mirror surface of the lake as the signified and wanted to be united with the signified, and so he drowned in the lake. Isn't everyone in a way doing that by drowning in the signifier, in that whole realm of trying to have a signification, a meaning that will give one value? And aren't we always hurt most when our signifier of identity is put down, is in the lower plane, is not privileged, is not part of the higher, is not given access, does not have the right signifier to be admitted into the Holy of Holies? But the Holy of Holies does not exist at the realm of the signifier. That's the illusion. That's the profane. Which is why even in the temples that have a Holy of Holies, it's empty of signifiers. And no one can even go in there. Because there has to be a space that belongs to no one. An alaya, vijnana, a place that is nowhere. It is not accessible. And yet that's the place where wisdom is. But as soon as you turn that no place into a place, then you will have people worshiping the signifier. And if that temple is in Jerusalem, then suddenly you have a holy land and everywhere else is unholy. Or maybe it's in Athens, or maybe it's in Moscow, or maybe it's in Washington. Wherever the signifier plants itself, even Arunachala can become a false identification that will attract those who mistake the signifier for the signified. So when we try to turn the signified, which is the self, the real, the absolute, into a signifier in order to be able to transmit some understanding of it, all we will really do is transmit a misunderstanding. Because once we have placed what we think of as the real into a signifier in order to exchange it, it enters into that market of exchange value of this sign is better than that. Oh no, that signifier of Christ isn't the one. This one of Buddha is the one that'll buy you what you want. You want liberation, you need this signifier, not that one. And so as soon as you get lost in the plane of the signifier, you can never find nirvana, which is that alaya vijnana that is nowhere, except in the unprojecting presence that is liberated from the prison house of language that happens as soon as there is identification with an I thought or any other thought that signifies the real. And so once in the movie persona, the nothing is turned into a signifier, then that nothing becomes a something. It becomes part of the market of values. And it can be turned into a film that is commercial. It can be sold. It can be turned into an artifact that represents the real, but has no longer any relation to the real. And it becomes part of the market of signifiers, just as all religions have and all philosophies and all nation states and all ideals of every kind. They have become corrupted once they have moved from the signified to the signifier. And so if we want to stay uncorrupted, we have to stay completely free of identification with any signifier. Because as soon as you are identified and that signifier is insulted, then you will be angry and you will be sad and you will want to be in a fight or flight mode to defend your signifiers. And all arguments are over those, and they're all ultimately meaningless. They're in a plane of delusion. So, the signifier for Narcissus of his mirror image was only a secondary signifier of the body itself that was being mirrored, that was a signifier of the self. Your body is not yourself, it's just a signifier. The whole world is but a signifier of the self. The self is nowhere. It's not in the world. You can't really even say it's transcendent of the world, because that means it's somewhere else. There is nothing that can actually be accurately said about the self about the real, about what is. Because as soon as anything is said, it isn't. It has entered the realm of a marketplace of thoughts that relate only to other thoughts. But none of those thoughts have any ultimate meaning. They are an infinite round of one relating to another, defining another, connoting another, signifying another, but you never get to a real. You can read through the whole dictionary and one word will be defined by another, by another, by another. You'll never get to any being from the level of meaning. And ultimately, every meaning is deferred. Nothing means itself. Everything means something else than you thought it meant. And as soon as you get closer and closer to what does this really mean, it gets further and further away from you. Because you're very striving to find signifiers to describe what you feel and who you are is putting you more and more into the realm of the signifier that is endless and infinite as a pure reflection of the real that will never reach the real and only can asymptotically recognize its own futility. That will finally, at some point, lead to a surrender and a liberation from the prison of language into the real. But the real must be surrendered to through a giving up of the illusion of power that comes through a mastery of language, which is always a pseudo-mastery. Because it is language that has mastered you. It is language that has usurped your consciousness and taken over your mind and fills it with chatter, fills it with drives, with urges to do things that matter, but matter to the signifier, not to the self. The self has been lost and cannot be found through thought. Cannot be found through action, cannot be found through feeling, cannot be found through art, cannot be found through any expression, but only through the leaving behind of all desire for the reflection, the possession, the capture of truth, of being, of love, of joy, of anything that is valorized and lost by having been valorized in the form of a signifier. That is our exile and our exodus from these eggs of dust that are the signifiers that have no fertile power of becoming real must be recognized in that silence in which the tendency to produce those illusory gems of meaning that prove always to be fool's gold are left behind forever. And the paradox is that once identification with the signifier has been completely released, one is able to use language again, but not be used by it, not be trapped in it, but is able to apply it to those knots of linguistic self-entrapment that the ego is constituted by to help to release through the paradoxical revelation of the meaninglessness of the signifier and producing the practical presence of that which is more than meaning, that is the being of our real nature, that proves its value by no longer being subject to the signifiers of the other. It is that realization that frees you from the desire of the other to be what the other wants you to be, or to prove you're the opposite of what the other wants you to be, and they will be what you want them to be. This dueling defining of the other, that is the trap of duality, can only be escaped in the non-duality of the nowhere, of the real nothing that can never be said. And once one can hold one's peace, that is when peace will be beheld by all. May you know the peace that comes of refusing to be seduced by the signifier. Refusing to fall into the simulation of the illusory reality. That words offer to those who are willfully ignorant of the real. But may you know the deeper peace of making sacred those signifiers that reveal the real in the heart, and to keep them holy and sacred and non-profaned by never allowing them to be appropriated by the ego. And thus to become a keeper of the flame. And may you know the supreme peace. That is the flame itself.